morning, New Life. Welcome to church. Let's stand together. Let's worship our Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship.
That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, holding in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Lord, you are here. Touching every heart, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 You are here, turning lives around. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you.
Never stop, never stop working, never stop.
your praise to the Lord. Lift your praise to the Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. God, as we were praying before, we recognize your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. That's a promise, Lord. So we know that you are here. We recognize you are here, and as we worship you, Lord, would you inhabit our praises? Would you be free to move in us and through us in this house, Lord? Minister with your Holy Spirit as we minister to you in worship. Because you deserve all the honor, all the glory, all the power, all the strength, all the dominion. It's yours. It's yours, Lord. We worship you.
Sacrificed, I in my Savior. Your name is power. God is good, amen. God's a way maker, amen. God is light in the darkness, amen. Praising my Savior. Is that your story? Is it? Amen? Yeah? That's why we're here this morning. To praise our Savior, to exalt His name. That's the story of our life. It's the story of our life. It's the story of New Life Church. To proclaim the name of Jesus. To touch people's hearts and lives with the love of God. Take a seat. Yeah. I want you to recognize that, man, we sang about a great God this morning. A great God that enters into our lives, transforms our lives, changes our lives. And then God gives us opportunities to come alongside of others, to tell them the story of God's salvation, to inspire them with love, with hope, with joy, with peace. It's a big task. That's what we're all about here at New Life Church. Even through the summer, we've got work to do. And so this summer, through the Canada Summer Jobs, we are able to have two interns as well to assist us. And so I want to invite Lexi and Shayla up, and we're just going to bless them and commission them to the work of ministry this summer. And we're so glad to have them. This is Lexi Durvin, and she's been involved in our Switch Life ministry and is currently involved in that as well as a leader. And this is Shayla Dykstra. And I'm thinking maybe I baptized you. Did I? Nat? Yeah. Yeah. So she's been around. And yes, so Shayla's currently serving as a Junior Gems leader as well. And so when we offered internships this summer, they applied, and we interviewed them, and we're so excited to have both of them. They've been enthusiastically working for the past couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks already. And so we just wanted to take the time to bless them, commission them. But I also want you to hear from them something of their heart and their passion for ministry. It's really exciting to have them around this summer. Who's going first?
I do not want to go first. Hi, I'm Lexi. Like Nathan said, I'm really excited. I'm planning a lot of fun events for the youth this summer, and I'm super excited for them. My goal is to just guide their conversations so coming September, everyone feels equipped to just jump into all these fun faith conversations.
I am really excited. We've been planning park days, and I've been planning extra summer GEMS events, and I'm just really excited to spend time with the kids in GEMS and at park days, and I really hope to see some growth in numbers of kids in the children's ministries at this church, as well as growth in their faith and ability to talk about their faith, as well as confidence in God.
And they said they didn't want to talk. Isn't that spectacular? Yeah, all right. Well, wonderful. I just chose a couple of verses to bless you guys with as well. From Romans chapter 15, Paul says this, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to invite the congregation to just extend a hand of blessing on these two young women and bless them as they are commissioned for a work of ministry this summer. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you so much for these gifted women. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that you give them to work in ministry here at New Life. We pray that you will bless their efforts, that you will inspire them, encourage them, and even in the midst of difficulty, in times when they struggle, God, may you be their strength and their wisdom. Father, thank you for the work of ministry. We pray for your Spirit's blessing so that we may bear fruit as we serve you and serve in your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Little Lights, you're going to continue worshiping downstairs. Children throughout the summer are going to stay with us here in the auditorium. There's children's packets on the side there that you can take in a moment. And so we're going to invite the little ones down, ages 3 through 5, and they're going to head on down through that door for Little Lights. And you're going to lead them? All right, so Little Lights, come on down, and we're just going to extend another hand of blessing on you guys. This is how everybody comes into church. Just flying. Yes, excellent, thank you. Wonderful. And another opportunity to bless the people up front here. Extend a hand of blessing. Father in heaven, thank you that you care for us, that you love us, that you embrace us. Embrace these little ones, Father. Hold them close to you, and as they gather to worship, we pray for blessing upon them, for blessing upon the leaders, and that you will equip and inspire, God, for all of us to serve you and to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, little ones, you can head on downstairs. All right. Well, welcome to New Life. So good to be together. Welcome also to those who are online. And well, perhaps you're even a regular attender here at New Life, and you're on vacation, you're just watching us online. Welcome, and glad to have you. If you're a guest, or if you're on vacation and you're here, welcome. We extend a warm welcome to you, and we're pleased to have you in our midst, and may we be a blessing to you this morning. There are connection cards in the front pocket of your chair or pew, and we invite you to take that, fill it out, and if you place it at the info booth in the foyer, then you'll receive a welcome gift as well. This week, we've got something spectacular happening, Park Days. Just down the road at Dallaire Park, at the end of Dallaire here. And we want to invite you to attend the Park Days. It's happening this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 4 days this week. And then we'll have another week of Park Days in August. But July 10 to July 13 at 9:30 in the morning till noon. We have Park Days. You're welcome to come at any point. You're welcome to come to play games. We're going to have our two interns have been working hard at putting together some crafts and games and so on. You're welcome to join with that. You're welcome to just go to the park. It's the south end of the park. And you can go there and just enjoy the fellowship, grab a lawn chair, and well, just sit around and enjoy the activity of children, or join in the games yourself. And Yeah, invite a neighbor as well, or whatever you want to do. So that's Park Days. This week, we're quite excited about it. It's our way to reach into the neighborhood and to encourage neighborhoods. This past week, interns and other staff went around and extended invitations into the neighborhood. And so hopefully we're able to just connect with some of our neighbors as well. That'd be awesome. This Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here at the church upstairs on the third floor, we're going to have a prayer night. And that prayer night is being hosted by Nick Vandermeulen, member of our church here, who has been living on the west coast of Vancouver Island, working in communities out there filled with hardship. And Nick wants to gather us together and to pray for those communities, pray for the work that he is doing, making connection, friendships, mentoring, and just leading in spiritual conversations with among the people there on the west coast of Vancouver Island. So that's happening this Wednesday evening, July 12th at 7 p.m. So just come on over to the church, head on upstairs, and Nick will lead us in that. That will be just, I'm confident, a positive and wonderful time. Our offering this morning as well is for Resonate, for the same kind of work. Resonate is, for those of you who have been around in our denomination for a long time, Resonate is the agency of the Christian Reformed Church that formerly consisted of World Mission and Home Missions. And so Resonate is all about mission, all about speaking the name of Jesus into every nook and cranny of the globe. And so they wanted to tell us about that, and so we thought we would show you this video to just kind of give you some context as well for the purpose of our offering this morning. Here are the ways to give as well. You've seen the slide before, quite likely, and so you're welcome to and invited to worship God with an offering this morning for the work of Resonate Ministry. Why don't you take a look at this video? Ha, cool, huh? Wow. The work of God in ministry, extending throughout the entire world. It's amazing. And we get to participate in that. Let's pray together, and then we'll have our time of fellowship and offering. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for your word that reveals yourself to us. A God of love, a God of salvation, a God of hope and joy and peace. So, Father, we pray today as we are gathered here that the ministry of revealing who you are and what you are up to in this world continues. So we pray for a blessing on this offering that we give as an extension of our faith and of our love to you, God, and also with our ambition to see your word extended beyond ourselves into all the world. Thank you, God, for your work in this world, for your Holy Spirit's power to reveal yourself to people all around the world. Help us to rejoice in that, God, and keep that vision of extending the gospel, the good news. Keep that vision in front of us always, in our daily lives, in every aspect of our lives. And may we honor you and glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have 3 minutes of fellowship, and then Sean's going to come up and preach this morning. And so take this time to bring your offering to the front. The collection boxes are right here on these tables on either side of the stage. And then enjoy the fellowship. Bless each other. Speak the name of Jesus over each other. And maybe say, if I go to Park Days, are you going to go to Park Days? Singing, he is alive. He is alive. He is alive.
the dearth now be. The name we walk, the law strongly. And with new life, the dead are raised.
All right, please take a seat. Please find your seats. We're going to begin. I know with such awesome weather and lots happening during the summer and families and friends visiting and visiting different places, conversations could go on for a while, and it's hard to cut these conversations short in a 3-minute time, and I get that. So I promise you, we'll give you more time after service to carry on your conversation. So please find your seats. Let's read and listen together to the Word of God. I think it's so amazing that every Sunday we get to gather and worship God. I think it's amazing that every week we get to gather to listen to the Word of God collectively and to share with one another what God is speaking to us. And as a community, hear from God together to learn and know where and how God is directing us. And I think it's an amazing privilege. And so it is an amazing privilege for me to come and then share with you this morning. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life. If you're visiting with us, welcome. Why don't we pray as we dive into the Word of God? Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would speak to us. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. In all the things that are happening in our lives, in the joys and the sorrows, we want and desperately need to hear your word. So, Father, through your Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us. And through your Spirit, empower us to live in accordance to your word. It's hard at times, but God, we pray that you would give us the strength and the perseverance to live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're currently going through a sermon series called What a Character. In this sermon series, we're looking at various Bible characters, mostly women, that are not well known from the Bible. Many of us know people like Ruth, Esther, Sarah, but we don't hear very many sermons, or we don't know much about people like Dorcas or the woman that I'm going to talk about this morning, Rahab. Whether you've been a long-time Christian or a new Christian or a non-Christian, we all need to hear this story about Rahab. Because the story of Rahab has something to offer all of us, every single one of us. The story of Rahab challenges us to put our faith into action. The story of Rahab also assures us that God's grace extends to the unlikely and the unworthy. And the story of Rahab inspires us to choose faith over fear. So without further ado, let's dive into the story and meet Rahab. Her story is found in the second chapter of the book of Joshua. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I will summarize the story instead. And as we go through the story, if you have your Bible in front of you or open in front of you, read along. And if you don't have it open in front of you, when you get home after service, I would highly encourage you to read it in detail. Or perhaps later tonight, for your scripture reading after dinner. Read it together as a family. So, let's begin with the story of Rahab. Moses, if you remember, was someone who God appointed to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. After he died, Joshua, his aide, was appointed to lead the people into the promised land. Moses, if you remember, was not allowed to enter into the promised land. God did not permit that, sadly. And Joshua took over leadership after his death. And God says to Joshua in chapter 1, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses." So the first thing Joshua does in his leadership is reconnaissance. He sends two spies secretly to look over the land, especially Jericho. And the Bible tells us that the two spies are sent, and when they get to Jericho, they enter into a house of a prostitute named Rahab. And they stay there. The king of Jericho finds out that the Israelites have come to spy out the land. So he sends messengers to Rahab, telling her to bring out the men that have come to spy out the whole land. But she tells the messengers that they have indeed come, yes. But she did not know where they came from, and they left at dusk before the city gate closed, she told the messengers. But we know that this is a lie, because the Bible tells us that she had hidden the two spies on her roof. Believing what Rahab had told them, the king's messengers set out to pursue the spies on the road. At night, Rahab went up on the roof where she had hidden the spies and tells them that she knows that God has given them this land and that everyone in the city and in the country are very afraid of them because of what they've heard, how God has dried up the water of the Red Sea for them to deliver them from Egypt, and also how God has led them to victory over the Amorite kings. Believing God will do to her city what God has done to the Egyptians and the Amorites, she then asks the spies to spare her and her family because she had spared them by hiding them. The spies assure her that as long as she keeps the secret until they get back, they will spare her and her family when God gives them the land. So she lets them down by a rope through the window and tells the spies how to get back safely. The spies tell her that the promise will be kept as long as she ties a scarlet cord in the window and have all her family dwell inside of her house on the day of conquest and keep a secret of what they're doing. She agrees, and the spies go on their way. When the spies return to Joshua in their camp, they report, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." And here ends the story in Joshua 2 about Rahab. Bit of a cliffhanger. The Bible tells us that Rahab was a prostitute living in a house that's part of the city wall. The narrator of the story may have told us the location of her house for the sake of illustrating how the spies got out of the city at night while the city gates were shut. But perhaps also to tell us that based on the location of her house and her occupation, Rahab lived among the marginalized in her city. Besides the story found in Joshua, she's also mentioned three times in the New Testament. First, in the genealogy of Jesus. Second, in Hebrews chapter 11. Third, in James chapter 2. So what do these passages or verses tell us about Rahab? Well, Matthew tells us that she is part of the royal lineage out of which King David comes, and also Jesus. And both the writers of Hebrews and James see her and describe her as a woman of faith. A prostitute? A woman of faith? In Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." And in James chapter 2, it says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? In both of these verses, Rahab is considered to be a woman of faith because of her actions, namely her act of welcoming, hiding, and sending the spies off safely. Now, how were her actions a sign of her faith? Have you, in hearing the story, perhaps you've heard the story in Sunday school, or this is maybe the 100th time that you're hearing it, maybe this is the first time. Have you ever wondered why Rahab hid the spies? What motivated her to hide them? After sending the messengers away on a wild goose chase, Rahab went up on the roof at night before the spies went to sleep and said in verses 9 to 11, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. What this reveals to us is that she hid the spies because she believed that the God of Israel has indeed given this land to them. She believes that the Lord their God is the true God in heaven and on earth. While one might argue that she hid them because she had an ulterior motive to save herself and her family, we could see that even such motive would need to be based on her faith that the God of Israel would indeed give his people the land. And that what God has done to Egypt and the two kings of the Amorites would also happen to them. If she did not believe the same fate of destruction was coming to them, she would not have felt the need to save herself and her family. So her action of hiding the spies was indeed a demonstration of her faith in Israel's God, the Yahweh. To be honest, until I read and studied this passage in preparation for the sermon, I had never thought of Rahab as a woman of faith. I knew the story because I learned it growing up in Sunday school, but I never considered her to be a woman of faith, nor did I consider her action to be a demonstration of her faith. If someone had asked me to give an example of a woman who demonstrates her faith in God, Rahab would not have been the first person to come to mind. But it is true that upon closer reflection on the story, especially based on her testimony in verses 9 to 11, we can see that her actions were based indeed on her faith in God. Like Rahab, we ask ourselves, I want to ask you, are we also moved into action based on our faith in God? How is our faith in God being shown through our actions? More specifically, how is our faith in God leading us to show kindness to people around us? In the story of Rahab, the Hebrew word used to describe her act of hiding the spies is the same word used to speak of God's loving kindness. And that Hebrew word is hesed. The same word is used to describe what Rahab has done for the spies. The act of hospitality that Rahab has shown is not a simple act of kindness. It required risking her life, because not only did she hide the enemies that came to take over the land, she lied to the king's messengers and then snuck them out of the city for them to return safely to their camp, all of which can be considered an act of treason, which would have been punishable by death. This is why the word hesed is used to describe what she has done. So then, in examining ourselves, in light of the story of Rahab, how is our faith leading us to show hesed, the kindness that requires us to give up comfort and safety to those around us? How is our faith leading us to show the kind of kindness that requires us to give up comfort and safety for those needing protection, for those needing our help, for those whom we might consider enemies? For some of us, showing this kind of kindness can be more challenging with those close to us. Our parents, perhaps. Our spouses. Our children. And our siblings. How might God be calling us to show kindness to them? To show the kind of kindness that requires us to give up our own comfort and safety. To give up our own pride and stubbornness. To deny ourselves and to lay ourselves down for the sake of showing kindness because we believe and trust in God. In the story, Rahab's hesed was not only for the spies but also for her family. In making the promise with the spies, she could have simply saved herself. She did not need to include her family, but instead she included her parents, her siblings, and all those who belonged to them. And some of these family members may have even shunned her because of her occupation, which no doubt would have brought shame upon her family members, especially her parents. Perhaps her loving kindness for her family is the kind of faith in action some of us might need to extend toward our own family. Some of us in this room have been a Christian for a long time. When one has been a Christian for a long time, faith can easily become something or all about saying the right things. We deceive ourselves thinking that if we just say the right things and believe what the Bible says, that our faith is good. And yet the Bible tells us in a rather sobering way that faith without actions is dead. In James chapter 2, verses 14 to 19, he writes this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Holy Spirit, awaken us to our spiritual condition. And lead us to show loving kindness to those around us, even if it means giving up our comfort and security as a demonstration of our faith in God. Secondly, the story of Rahab also assures us that God's grace extends to the unlikely or the unworthy. According to Joshua chapter 6, the result of her faith in action was that she and her family were saved. Joshua spares Rahab with her family, and the Bible tells us that she lives among the Israelites to this day, chapter 6, verse 25. And the phrase to this day implies the lasting effect of Rahab becoming part of Israel, part of God's people. In the first book of Chronicles, we find that she marries into the family line of Judah, the lineage out of which comes King David and eventually Jesus. Despite her shady past, God nevertheless extends his grace and brings good out of Rahab's life. For God, there's no past that's ever too messy or too evil that his grace won't reach and redeem. While we may never know why Rahab was in the occupation that she was, the good news that we get from the story of Rahab is that no matter how messy or troubling our past and even our present may be, God's grace covers all and brings beauty out of ashes. Commenting on Rahab's conclusion in the Faith Hall of Fame found in Hebrews chapter 11, Herbert Lockyer, one of the most quoted expositors in the 20th century, writes, What a manifestation of divine grace it is to find someone who was at one time a prostitute, ranked along with saints like Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, and David. Her past and occupation did not exclude her from receiving God's deliverance and being included into the people of God. Not only did she become a part of the people of God, but she was also given the honor of being included in the lineage of the Messiah, which could only be orchestrated by God himself. She couldn't have planned it. She couldn't have accomplished it herself. It was purely by the grace of God that she has been included in the lineage of the Messiah. For the Israelites, Rahab would have been the most unlikely person to be chosen by God to accomplish his will. A Canaanite, a woman, a prostitute. And yet, by God's grace, this is who he chose. Who, in our view, might be someone that is most unlikely to be chosen by God to accomplish his will? Who, in our view, might be someone that is most unworthy to receive God's grace? While we might think that no one is ever unworthy of God's grace, if we're being honest, deep down inside, there might be some that we consider secretly as unworthy or unlikely. Perhaps people who cut us off in traffic and make an obscene gesture at us. Are they worthy of God's grace? What about people who mistreat us for no apparent reason? Are they worthy of God's grace? What about our neighbors that annoy us? Are they worthy of God's grace? We have a neighbor we live in a townhouse, and their front door is right next to ours, and every time they slam the door, we feel it in our place. And we wonder, do they need to do that? Do they need to slam the door every time? Perhaps they do. And I'm tempted to think that they're not worthy of God's grace. And perhaps that's maybe sometimes the reason why I don't, and I fail to extend God's grace to them. Of course, I don't show it explicitly, but in my own heart. Now let's take a step further. What about people who have differing views than us on politics, on climate change, on COVID, on the vaccines, and human sexuality? Do we consider them to be worthy of God's grace? What the story of Rahab reminds us is that we don't decide who's worthy to receive God's grace. It's not up to us. God decides. And he gives his grace to all, especially those whom we might consider unworthy. For some of us, the unlikely or the unworthy may be ourselves. Our past, our history and baggage, our struggles and our addictions, our own sense of self-worth may have led us to believe that God's grace couldn't possibly be for us. For those of you thinking, I'll never be good enough to receive God's grace. God wouldn't really love me if he knew me. Please hear me when I say that God's love and grace is indeed for you. If you didn't hear anything else from this sermon, please hear this. God's grace is not based on what you have done or have not done. It is not earned. It is a gift. And we receive it by faith. We will never be good enough. But the beauty of God's grace is that it is given to us regardless. And he gives it freely and abundantly. There's nothing that could separate you or exclude you from God's grace or his love. The Bible says, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Isn't that the good news? For those of us that really need to hear this morning, my prayer is that God would make this truth a very tangible reality, very tangible evidence for you in your life this week and the weeks to come. Lastly, the story of Rahab inspires us to move towards faith, not fear. In her profession of faith found in Joshua in verses 9 to 11 in chapter 2, she mentions fear numerous times. She said that a great fear of the Israelites had fallen on them, and all the residents of Canaan are melting in fear because of them. She also said that when the Canaanites heard what God has done to Israel's enemies, their hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of them, so there was a lot of fear going around. However, even though the news of what God has done to Israel's enemies led many to fear, Rahab was led to faith. It led her to profess that the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. While it's not clear from reading the story how Rahab was moved to faith, it is clear that her faith led to her salvation and deliverance. Perhaps she believed that just as God has delivered Israel from Egypt by drying up the water of the Red Sea, he could deliver her as well from her past and her present. She may have also believed that just as God has given Israel victory over their enemies, he could also give her victory over her enemies. We could imagine perhaps she was in her occupation not by her choice, but perhaps was forced into it through injustice. Whatever the backstory may be, in Rahab's story, we see that she chose faith over fear. Now, there might be circumstances in our lives, in your life, that seem overwhelming and scary. You might be crippled by fear. Like the text says, perhaps you're melting in fear. But if God can make a way by splitting the sea, then he can make a way for you when there seems to be no way. If God gives victory to his people in battle, then he can give you the victory of the enemy that's wreaking havoc in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your work, in your school, in your home. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? If God can bring down the wall of a city by a loud shout and a trumpet blast, he could bring down whatever obstacles that stand in your way. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Hallelujah. I've mentioned at the beginning that whether you're a longtime Christian or a new Christian or a non-Christian, we all need to hear this story about Rahab because it has something to offer all of us. It challenges us to put our faith into action. It assures us that God's grace extends to everyone, including the unlikely and the unworthy. It inspires us to choose faith over fear. Now, I don't know about you, but I needed to hear all of that. I need to put my faith in action, to show loving kindness to those close to me and around me. I need to remember that God's grace is for me, especially when I don't feel like that's the case. I need to remember to choose faith over fear, believing that God can do what I desperately need him to do as he has done before for his people. Where do you find yourself this morning? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the story of Rahab? I want us now to take a moment to sit. We're already sitting. Reflect and listen to the Holy Spirit in silence. We'll sit and listen for some time and reflect. And after some time, I'll pray and the worship team will come up and lead us to respond in song. So let's all close our eyes and listen together.
God, thank you for speaking to us. We need you to live this out. We need you to help us to put our faith into action. We need you to remind us and help us to believe and be assured that even when we don't feel like it, that your grace, nevertheless, extends towards us and to those whom we might consider our enemies. And Holy Spirit, we need you to help us, to move us into faith over fear. God, we need you. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle. Thank you.
New Life Church, God goes before you, and he goes with you. And as you leave this place to go and to love and to serve the Lord, may the God of all grace equip you and fill you with everything that is needed to put your faith into action, demonstrating God's loving kindness to those around you, and to be assured of his grace toward you and to those unlikely people in your lives, and to move you to faith over fear.